All right, good to see you tonight. Hope your week's going well. And if it's not, you're already halfway through it, right? All right, it's the half full glass, right? I don't know how to live there very often, but I try, all right? We should, because the Lord sure has been good to us, hasn't he? Amen. All right, let's make our way to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. A quote starting off tonight by Christopher Columbus. He said this: "It was the Lord who put into my mind the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures." That's quite different than he's portrayed, right? Right? And many times what happens is, you know, somebody comes up with the truth of what it is, and then all of a sudden they're like, "Wow, man, that's incredible. How did you figure that out?" Well, the Bible said it, right? How'd you come up, Christopher Columbus, how'd you come up with the world being round? Well, God said in the Scriptures that it's a sphere, right? So what happens is, so many times, and I think it's hilarious, my favorite is whenever scientists and science in general is trying to disprove the Bible, trying to disprove God, and all they do is prove it more and more, right? I just like it, right? I like it like that. And so it's very interesting, though, that when it comes down to it, I'm not saying Christopher Columbus was the perfect guy, but the fact of the matter is that ultimately the world was saying, "Oh, it's flat. You're going to fall off," right? Well, God said it's sphere. He already said it. And so it's interesting, the different take. But ultimately what we need to be as Christians is we need to be led by the Spirit. Guided him into all truth. That's what the Bible says. That the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. Okay? And so ultimately what we've got to be doing is our life has to be led by the Spirit. And many times we talk about it as it is like this mythical thing. Right? Some mythical thing. But it's not. Okay? Ultimately we have to be led by the Spirit if we're going to have the life that God wants us to live. Many times, Christians settle for mediocrity because they're fine with leading their own life. And then it's kind of like, well, some of the promises of God are true, and some of them, well, they are the sons of God. The truth of being led. So we think of this, we got to remember, right? And Jesus is to be our greatest example, and the Holy Spirit is our divine companion and our personal guide, okay? Sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit, you got Jesus the Son, and you got the Holy Spirit, okay? That's not how it works. It's all God, right? So it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all equal, okay? And sometimes what we're missing out in our life is that we do. Yep, God's our Father, and Jesus is our great example, and not living in light of the fact that the Holy Spirit is our companion and our guide, okay? All right, so as we talk about this, here's what we're going to look at. Number one is this: we are to walk in the Spirit. You're in Galatians 5. Let's begin reading here. Verse 13, Galatians 5 and verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even is this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, what does it say? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, and we'll actually go through that portion in just a moment. But here is our command. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Let me remind you, that's not a suggestion. If we're going to live the Christian life how God wants us to live it, it is a command for us to be led by the Spirit. That means this, you're not in charge. That means I'm not in charge. That means that the Spirit of God is in charge of my life. He's the driver. I'm the passenger. Right? All I can think of is after I say that is the passenger princess. Not sure. But the truth of the matter is many times in our life we're driving, but yet we don't like where we're ending up. Okay, let me say that one more time. We're driving. We're in control, and we're like, how did we get here? I don't know, Bubba, you're driving, right? Okay, so ultimately the Bible tells us that as Christians, we are going to either walk in the flesh, which that's us being in charge, or we're going to learn to walk in the Spirit. Now, that's very important, okay? Just because the Holy Spirit indwells you at the moment of salvation does not mean that he directs you. He's there, and he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He promised. Okay? So we know his promises are good. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us, but just because he's dwelling in here doesn't mean that he's in control. Okay? It's up to us to decide. It is possible for saved people to ignore the direction of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you by experience, I've lived there many times in my life. And that's where it's like, I don't like where this is going. Okay, then get out of the driver's seat and let him be in control. Okay, so the flesh and the Spirit, they're fighting, right? That's a daily fight. That's not only a daily fight, that's a nanosecond by nanosecond fight. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I mean, we're fighting that all the time. Be like, Lord, yes, I want you to control my day. And then we get into traffic on our way to work. Right? Well, there you go. But ultimately, it is a nanosecond by nanosecond decision that we're making. Okay? And here's what happens many times. Here's what happens. Oh, I'm headed for a mess. God, you take over. Do we not do that? I've done that many times in my life. Where I'm in control. Man, I'm calling the shots. Man, I'm making good decisions. I know I am. Oh, no. I'm headed for a mess. God, can you come steer this away, right? And I'm thankful for his mercy and his grace. Okay? I'm so thankful that he wants us to call out to him at any moment. But the goal is not that we're coming to God in our emergency situations. I'm so thankful that any moment I can call out to the Lord. But the goal is that we're living on a moment-by-moment basis where he's leading us. Does that mean that everything's going to be made in the shade drinking pink lemonade? No. But I can know this. Hey, where he leads, I'm following, and I know it's going to be the right way. And then we can have hope in trials and tribulations. Because I know, hey, Lord, you're in control. You're in control. Okay, so the Spirit and the flesh are fighting. In order to walk in the Spirit, we must crucify the flesh. We have to tell ourselves that two-letter word that's a dirty curse word. No. At every moment of decision, we have to make that decision. Am I going to let God control this, or am I going to control it? And in order for it to work, I have to say, Mark, no, you're not in charge. And that's what crucifying the flesh is many times. We kind of make it this mystical thing again, and there's nothing mystical to it. I'm saying no to me so I can say yes to him. That's all it is. God, here's a decision. What do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do that. And that's what being led by the Spirit is. It's that simple. And many times we complicate it. We're complicating it all the time because we're doing this. I'm in control. No, I'm in control. No, I got. But the thing is, we get in this fight with God. And here's the truth. God honors our choices. That should humble us to be reminded that God honors our choices. If you don't want God in control, hey, if you're his child, he will chastise. He will correct. But at the same time, he honors your choice. God is not a mean person in heaven that says, you're going to do this or I'm going to sock you right in the mouth. It's not how he does it. Now again, he does correct and he tries to lead us. And sometimes it's like the stubborn mule that you're trying to yank and pull. But at the same time, our goal is that whatever, that I say no to me so I can say yes to him. Whatever he wants, I'll do. That's being led by the Spirit. Now, every Christian has to decide how they're going to live their life. That's the truth. That's the moment-by-moment decision that we have to make. In this moment, right here, am I going to be led by the Spirit, or am I going to go out on my own? Okay. Now, Galatians 5 does not finish just by letting us know that there's a war going on between the Spirit and the flesh. It also gives us what each of those destinations are. So my destination, if I'm following the flesh, we'll find that the works of the flesh, that's what's going to be made manifest. That's going to be my destination. Okay? But if I'm saying no to me and I'm following Christ, then his destination will be there. And let me just tell you, his destination's a lot better. Right? That's the difference of this. This is for you, Mom. All right? That's the difference between, let's say, heaven and Sanford, Texas. Okay, let me bring it here. That's saying the difference between heaven and Rosette. Tell me which one you want a vacation in. Now you say, well, Rosette's a divine place. I like it there. It's secluded. There's not many people. That's great. Where are you going to eat? What you going to do? Right? Those two places are very different, okay? And so is us being led by the Spirit and where that leads, and being led by the flesh and where that leads. Those are two totally different places. So let's look at it, okay? So in verse number 19, now remember, this is the destination of us being led by the flesh. This is where I lead myself into, okay? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Here, let me just tell you, that's not the destination I want. Now, that's not it at all. But let me remind you, that's the works of the flesh manifested. That's its destination. When I lead myself, well, I'll never do that. Really? You just start calling the shots in your life. And I'm telling you, that's where it'll lead to. Well, I'd never do that. That's right. I'm not. In our heart of hearts and in our mind of minds, we'd say, I'd never do that. But how many people have found themselves in places doing things they'd never imagined they'd do? And they say this, how'd I get here? Here's how you got there. You called the shots. You were led by the flesh. By the flesh. Which means this. Well, I like that. I'll do that. Okay? Well, I'll do that. I like that. Well, I'll do that. I like that. And we feed the flesh, and the flesh is never satisfied. Now, we could pick out some of these sins that are in this list, and we could say, how do you get there? And we're living in a culture in the great U.S. of A. who is diving into a lot of this mess. And we're saying, how are you getting there? Well, for a lot of time, a lot of people have just been walking in the flesh. Because the flesh is never satisfied. That used to be fun, but it doesn't give me the thrill it used to give me. So now I got to do this. That gives me the thrill for a little while, but that doesn't satisfy. I know it's silly. I know where I live, and I know what time. I know it's 2026, but I'm telling you, the whole drug situation, us legalizing entry-level drugs, is not what's going to help us. Well, that's not a gateway drug. Okay. Well, I can tell you this much. Any of them are a gateway to start. Any of them. Right? And we don't even have to go to illegal ones. Okay? So my point being is this, that before we stop and say, I'll never get there, I want to warn you that if you keep calling the shots, you will end up somewhere in that destination. Okay? And that's what happens when we're led by the flesh. And what ends up totally happening is Christianity in general starts turning people off to it. Why? Well, because you're doing the same things we're doing outside, and you have to go to church on Sundays. I do what I want on Sundays. You see what I'm saying? So let's not give them a reason by saying this, Lord, I just want to be led by you. Now, what's the destination if we're led by the Spirit? Well, verse 22, that's the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let me just ask you, between those two destinations, which one do you want to live in? That's right. That is right. It's polar opposites. Polar opposites. And yet here it is that ultimately by our day-to-day, moment-by-moment decision of whether I'm going to follow Christ and His Spirit or whether I'm going to call the shots, that's where we're headed, one of those. I'm just telling you, in my life, I want the peace, the joy, the love, the long-suffering. I don't want to end up in the other place of adultery, fornication, witchcraft, variance, emulation, strife, sedition, heresy. You see polar opposites? And here's the problem. We'll sow the seeds, but we hate the harvest. Can we do both? No. Let me remind you, no man can serve two masters. You can either be led by your flesh or you can be led by the Spirit. And the destination is determined by the decision. God, I want to be led by you and therefore get to enjoy the fruit of being led by you. And I'll have joy and peace and all of those things. So the flesh guides us into destruction. The Spirit guides us away from where the flesh wants to take us. It wants to guide you away from where, but the flesh wants to guide you away from the Spirit which will lead you. So, consider both destinations. That'll help us on a moment-by-moment basis. If we start living in the flesh, we just need to stop and say, maybe go back to Galatians 5 and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I don't want this. And surrender ourselves again to be led by the Spirit. Now, number two, don't worry, okay? I know some of you are like, is this another 12-pointer? Because this is going to take forever, okay? We got four, okay? Not another 12-pointer like a few weeks ago, all right? Number two is this: as we learn to walk in the Spirit, we will be led by the Holy Spirit. Now let me remind you of this. Luke 4:1 says this: "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Now, let me remind you again, I know it's a Wednesday night crowd, but let me remind you that Jesus lived his life as an example for us to follow. When we make other people our example, we'll be let down. We'll be discouraged. Okay? Our example is Christ. Okay? And as he lived his life, so even here, that ultimately Jesus and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus surrendered. You can remember all the different passages as we say this. Jesus surrendered his will as a man over and over and over again. I say, not my will, but thine be done. Remember? Many times that Jesus surrendered his human will to just surrender to his heavenly Father. Okay, so remember, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. So our Savior was led by the Spirit, therefore we should be led by the Spirit. Okay? He's our example. As we empty ourselves of ourselves and purge ourselves of hidden sins, here's the truth: his voice will become amazingly clear. I've been in a few loud situations. Work. I've been through a few sporting events, and sometimes, man, you can't even hear yourself think, right? It gets loud, it gets noisy, it gets crazy, okay? Right? Sometimes, I remember, especially in high school, that's how we like to drive in our cars with music. Right? Those people you get annoyed with, stoplights. Yeah, I'm now annoyed with them, okay? I've reached this point in my life that I'm like, are you serious? Come on, right? Usually it's followed up by, does your dad know you're playing his radio like that? That's how I say it, all right? But many times, let me just help us here just for a second in myself. That many times it's hard to hear the voice of the Lord because it's drowned out by everything else. Would anybody agree with this? Life gets loud. That's why we like seclusion. It's like, hey, get me to the mountains and leave me alone, right? Sure. Is there times for that? Yes, of course. But I'm just telling you that you can clearly hear the voice of the Lord in the middle of the noisiest situations of life if we will determine, no, I'm going to be led by the Spirit. What he says, I'll do. Can I remind you of how the Holy Spirit, how the voice of the Holy Spirit is described to us? You know where I'm going. The still what? The still small voice. And many times life gets so loud with all the other things that I'm involved in that I'm having a hard time hearing the Holy Spirit. But what we have to make the decision is that I am going to focus. Focus. It's not a 12-point message of how we just have to focus. Lord, I want to hear your voice. And life is loud, and sometimes I allow sin in my life that makes it hard to hear you. I allow drama to drown out your voice. I allow work frustrations. And the point is that I have to stop and say, no, I'm going to focus on what the Lord is saying. You ever told somebody that you stand there knowing you are not listening to me? Yeah, I'm married. My wife knows that all the time. I have to tell the truth. My mom's here. Right? Yeah, I can think of times where there would be times where mom and dad would literally, I don't mean this abusively because it wasn't, but almost like grab your face and say, "Listen to me." Anybody been there? You can almost feel the squeeze of the cheeks right here when I'm talking to you, right? I remember. And what is the point? The point is that they had something to communicate. And I'm over here in La La Land walking around with the Smurfs. La 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 la. And I got to focus. Okay? Now, can I just tell you what helps us focus? Those three major things that we're always preaching about. Prayer, Bible study, and church attendance. You know what that helps me do? It helps me focus. I can't hear him. I can't hear him. Well, are you going to read his word? I ain't got time for that. I can't hear him. I can't. Are you going to talk to him? I ain't got no time for that. Okay. Then you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. So ultimately, it is about making sure that we focus. Many can't hear the Holy Spirit because their life is too loud with many other voices. Let me just go off on this just for a second. That's why I hate some of the stuff in our culture that's going after kids. You know why? Because they're trying to pull their focus somewhere else. You know where they're trying to pull their focus to? The works of the flesh. That leads to that mess. And so there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of voices tugging at our children. Hey, there's a lot of voices in this world that are tugging after us as adults. Well, I'll give you some advice. Great. Is it going to coincide with the scripture? No. I don't really care to listen. That's not what the Bible says. I don't love to listen to you. Right? So, ultimately it is that we've got to focus. To hear the Holy Spirit, we've got to focus. Number three is this. Let me remind you that the Holy Spirit will never lead you to disobey His word. Sometimes people will say this. I remember my dad talking about it one time, but I remember watching the video. I could say his name. I won't. But there was this TV evangelist, and I remember seeing it, that he said, some of you out there are going to say, that's not in the Bible. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care what the Bible says. God told me to do it. That wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. I think that was the spirit of the flesh or the spirit of Beelzebub, right? One of them, okay? And so let me just remind you that when we're in prayer and when we're in Bible reading and when we're in church on a regular basis, we're hearing God's word. So then that way, when we do hear the voices, and I'm not talking about, right, hey, they're crazy with tinfoil hat, hearing voices. Not that. But when our world is loud, right, and there's a lot of voices tugging after us, trying to bring us into different directions, I know what the Bible says, so I know when it's the Holy Spirit. Because I can compare those two. Because they'll never be different. They'll never be different. The Spirit of God will never lead you to disobey the Bible. He won't. That is confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Well, the Spirit said this, and the Bible said this. I don't know what to do. That's confusion. And He's not the author of confusion. So just reminding ourselves that He'll never lead us away from the Word of God. John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. To blame the Holy Spirit for an act of disobedience, it's a dangerous thing. You're playing with a game that you will not win. Because that would be real, can I say it this way? It's kissing cousins to blasphemy. And that is serious. Okay? So, we're commanded to try the spirits, whether they be of God, or we understand that this is Satan's world. He's the prince and power of the air, right? Okay? This is the the place that God has allowed Satan to dwell for a while. And I'm thankful for when he gets thrown in that pit, right? Never to be loosed again. I'm looking forward to that day. I hope you are too. But the truth of the matter is that there is a spiritual warfare taking place in our daily lives all around us in this world. Okay? There's a serious battle. And so when the Bible tells us to try the spirits, here's how we try it. Well, is that what his word says? Because they'll match. They'll match. If in your mind and in your counsel that you hear from other people, you hear something contrary to the word of God, it will never be the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to it. A truth we all have to understand, I say this on a regular basis because it's true. Don't you dare forget that your mind doesn't always tell the truth. That is a serious thing. And if you'll get a hold of the fact that my mind does not always tell me the truth, then I'm going to have to be governed by the Spirit of God. Because my mind will make up things. My mind will say, oh, that's not a big deal. My mind will get me thinking so far off because my mind doesn't always tell the truth. But God's Word always tells the truth. And His Spirit will always tell the truth. And that's how we'll be able to know, hey, in this loud and noisy world, I can know whether it's the Spirit of God or not. Why? Because I'm trying it through His Word. So there again, it reminds us of the need, the necessity as a Christian for us to be in our Bibles, hearing the Word of God on a regular basis. How do you try the spirits if you don't know what the Bible says? I'm so thankful that our world, I'll be honest with you, I like Google. I changed out, this is exciting, let me tell you. I changed out the radiator in an 08 Hyundai Santa Fe. You know how? I Googled it. Seriously. Went to YouTube. Oh, yeah, an 08 Santa Fe. Step by step. Literally, here's what I did. I set up a table behind the, here was the car. I set up a table with towels so nothing would roll off the table. And I set up my phone, and I hit play. Step one. Open the hood. Got it. Hey, I got it. We're winning. Right? Sure. We like it. We use it too much. Google it. You don't even have to Google it now. ChatGPT will tell you. AI will let you know. Okay? Christians can never delegate. Listen, they can never delegate the responsibility to study God's word to AI, to Google. God did not say, Google yourself to show yourself approved unto God. He said, study. So we've got to be in His word, knowing what it says. Does that mean we'll never have questions? No. Knowing what the Bible says is a lifetime process. And ultimately, I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts at the right time, at the right moment, and He'll guide us into truth. And isn't it awesome to know that we have a pastor who follows the Spirit of God in what to preach? Why is that important? Because what he's preaching sometimes, be like, that's exactly what I needed tonight. How'd that happen? He followed the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God knew who the people of God would be here and what would be needed at the right moment. And I'm just telling you, man, I don't have to try to muster this stuff up. Lord, what do you want me to say? Okay, I'll say that. And then somebody comes up after, man, that's exactly what I needed. And I'm like, I didn't even know you needed that. Why? Man, because the Spirit of God is doing a great work if we'll just allow Him to. Okay, so just remember that the Spirit of God will never lead us contrary to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit would never lead you to disobey His Word. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And we could say to that, that's very true. Don't believe me? Pull up podcast. Some of them are A-OK, and some of them, the trash is a compliment. Okay? So we understand that there's a lot of voices, but we can govern it by, is what they said right here with God's word in line? Yep, okay, it's the Spirit of God. Is it? No, that's contrary. That's not the Spirit of God. I'm not going to listen to him because I'm going to be living according to the Holy Spirit, that he's guiding me. Now, number four, everybody's favorite point, right? Lastly, the Holy Spirit will direct us to divine appointments. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter number 8. When we are following the Spirit of God, He will lead us to divine appointments. Let me, right before we read this passage of Scripture, anybody ever experienced that? I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have. If you've been living for God any amount of time and you've been trying with any seriousness to say, I'm going to follow the Spirit of God, you've been brought to divine appointments. Divine appointments. You've been brought to them. Okay? And it's exciting. But Acts chapter number 8, very familiar passage of Scripture, but let's read it. Acts 8 and verse 26. The Bible says, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Okay, so let us just stop right there and say this. Who is leading Philip at this moment? The Spirit of God, right? Okay, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south. Okay, verse 27, and he arose and went. So who's Philip following? The Lord. He is following the Lord. Okay, so he was, let me just remind you, he doesn't know the whole story yet. What did the Spirit of God say? Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. That's it. Go. Okay? Well, what's there? He didn't ask. He's just led by the Spirit of God. Okay? And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuchs answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus, he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down, both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He baptized him only after he was saved. That's why I asked him. What doth hinder me? Are you saved first? Okay, you're saved, then you can get baptized, right? Okay. All that took place here is Philip was led by the Spirit. Go. Where am I going? I said go. And how many times are we debating God? Go. Talk to that person. Well, God, they kind of got a mean face. They look kind of intimidating. Anybody ever saw somebody that looked extremely intimidating? And then you met them and you're like, they are as cuddly as a fuzzy bear. Yeah? Right? Okay. Mind doesn't always tell you the truth. Okay. But seriously, here's what God said. The Spirit of God said to Philip, go. Okay, I'll go. He went. When he got there, he said, hey, that guy right over there in the chariot, go talk to him. Okay. I think this story is incredible. Because my favorite part is the fact that he's in his chariot reading, and Philip's going next to him. So my question is this. Is the chariot going slow or fast? Or is it sitting still? Because, I know, Mark is psycho. I know, okay? All right? But I just think of this story, and I'm thinking, is Philip running next to the chariot? Hey, what are you reading? Oh, yeah? Hey, Isaiah. Yeah, I've read that before. Read it to me. What does it say? Right? Or is he, oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, Isaiah, man, that's great. Read it to me. Let's, right? Okay, funny detail. But here it is. Philip was just allowing God to lead him. Do you think the Ethiopian eunuch was glad that Philip was led by the Spirit of the Lord? For sure. I am not going to stand here and say that I understand the complete working of God and how it works in all areas of life. But I will say this. I understand that when the Spirit of God calls a missionary to go to a foreign field, and somebody in that foreign field maybe is praying a prayer like this, God, will you show me what's right? And God touches the heart of a missionary and says, hey, I want you to go. And it could be years apart. A missionary, the missionary was just here last Wednesday. They said they've been on the deputation trail for 2 years. 2 years. Okay? And that's very common. Very common for missionaries on deputation to be taking a while to get there. Okay? And when they get there, you hear stories of this. Wow. I was praying and didn't even necessarily know what I was praying to. I was just crying out to God that he'd send somebody to show me. And years later, a missionary, can I tell you about Jesus? I've heard stories of divine appointments where people were literally at the brink of suicide, about to end their life. And here comes a knock. Hey, I got something to share with you. Oh, yeah, what's that? Hey, I got to tell you about Jesus. Oh. And here I am struggling, about to end my life, and all of a sudden somebody knocks on my door. How does that work? The Spirit of God. If we'll surrender to him, and if we'll stop sitting in the driver's seat of our lives, we will get to see divine appointments. I don't understand how it all works, but I don't have to. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. And all he's saying to you is, just obey what I say. Just tell yourself no so you can tell him yes. And what he says, I'm going to do that. I have a flesh. Me and God don't always see eye to eye. Let me never forget that his ways are not my ways. They're far greater than anything that I could ever come up with. Okay? Your vantage point makes a big difference. I look at something and I say, that looks tough, but I don't see the destination. But all I have to do is say yes to Christ today. He says, go talk to that person. Go talk to him. When he says, pick up your Bible and read, pick up your Bible and read. When he says, I need to talk to you, then get on your knees and talk to him. And I don't know how it all works out, but I do know what the destination is. Peace, love, joy. Long-suffering. lest I forget, the destination of me calling the shots is not close to the destination of when I allow God to lead me. Don't miss the divine appointments that God has for you. Now, let me remind you of two scriptures, and that is this. If Ephesians 4:30 and 1 Thessalonians 5:19 are in the Bible, and I'll tell you what they say, then that means that this is possible. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which means this, I can grieve Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. Let me remind you what quenching is. Anybody like a good campfire? Sure. But don't forget what Smokey the Bear says. Too hot to touch, too soon to leave, says Smokey Bear. You have that fire for a couple days, and you think you got the logs out. Oh yeah, it looks like it's out. Right there in that bed of coals. Can still have that dust of ash right over it. And all of a sudden you blow some of that ash away and they're glowing red hot. And what happens is this. I go down to the creek and I fill up my bucket of water. And I say, too hot to touch, too soon to leave, says Smokey Bear. And I quench it. And every time that we say no to the Spirit of God, and then we're wondering why we have no victory and no power in our lives. Because we quenched it. Oh, God can do what He wants, that's right. And He honors our choices. And when we keep saying no, it'll be harder to hear the voice of God. And it'll be harder and harder to the point that the Bible talks about the fact that He will be quenched. And you are His child forever and ever. But there talks about a searing of the conscience where I've said no to Him so many times that it becomes to the point where it's too late. We don't want to live in that truth. It is true that that can take place. But how about we just don't ever get there? Right? Where is that line? I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But I know this. The farther you stay away from it, you'll never have to worry about it. I heard a message one time like this. If you never play in the shallows, you never get to the depths. That's pretty good, isn't it? You never play in the shallows, you never get to the depths. Well, that's true. I've never drowned in Fridge, Texas. You know why? Because it's just like Gillette. Ain't no water. Well, the fishing lake, and don't watch out for that 42-inch fish they pulled out of there the other day, right? But seriously, you don't drown in the middle of the desert. Okay, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? It has everything to do with it. If I don't start saying no to the Holy Spirit, I'll never have to worry about getting to the point where now I have a seared conscience. I don't have to worry about it. Why? Because I'll just say yes. Where He leads me, I will follow. Trust and obey. We sing songs about this truth all the time. And yet many times we're not living in its truth. So let's not complicate it. Don't make it harder than it is. I'm so thankful that the gospel and the Christian life is simple in its entirety. Now, that doesn't mean we go through easy things, but it's simple. Why? I just say yes. No, that can't be it. No, that's it. Spirit of God. I believe the Spirit of God is telling me to do this. Good. Does it match God's word? Yep. Okay. Then say yes. Do it. And you'll be just fine. And you'll never end up in the the destination of the works of the flesh? You won't. Well, I don't know. No, I'm telling you, you won't end up there. Why? Because God won't lead his children to that destination. He won't. But I'll take myself there. And if I'm not listening to the voice of the Lord, that's where I'll end up. So our goal as Christians is to walk in the Spirit. Just say yes. He is our Heavenly Father, so I recommend saying yes, sir. Just a little plug. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And I pray, God, first of all, I want to say I'm sorry for the many times that I've said no or I've quenched your Spirit. God, I'm sorry. I pray that you'd forgive me. God, I'm asking that you'd help me to follow your Spirit. God, and I ask that you'd help all of us in this room to follow your Spirit. God, if there's one here that doesn't know you, that they don't have your Spirit living inside of them because they're not saved, God, I pray that they would see their need for you as Savior. And first of all, get saved. Then, God, I pray that they would say yes to your Spirit as you lead. God, and I'm so thankful that where you lead us will end up in the fruits of the Spirit. God, in our core